Welcome to the April 15th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Free to Serve. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. And whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest, we are pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. As we're coming in, several announcements I'll make. We want to make sure we've got a record of everybody who's here in worship with us. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every row. We invite everyone to take that. And guests, we ask that you fill out all the information as you feel comfortable. Check the appropriate boxes. And members, just fill out your full name. And then check any information that has changed. Then we ask you to send it down to everybody on the row, so everybody has opportunity to fill that out. When it gets to the end of the row, if you could send it back to where it started, members, as it comes back, if you don't recognize some faces on your pew, just use the time to check their names and introduce yourself later in the service. Also, if the first person who signed it, when it gets back to you, if you could rip off those pages to help our ushers pick those up at the end of the service, that would be great. A couple of announcements for worship today. We are having children's celebration. That's when the children leave worship and we go have children's worship in Smith Hall. We will be leaving after the second hymn today, so just take note of that. That's hymn number 533, He Lives. During that hymn, we will skedaddle out of here, head to Smith Hall, and that's where parents, you can pick your children up after worship. Regular schedule tonight, including our live contemporary service, that's at 7 o'clock. All the other scheduled things you'll find in the bulletin. There is one special event today at lunchtime. The family ministry team will be meeting for a special lunch meeting in Smith Hall. I do want to recognize Ms. Sue Hendricks for announcement.
I have asked our resident attorney minister to be an extra resource for me this morning. Jason, would you tell people what this is?
It looks like a legal pad.
And what's it used for?
To write very, very, very important things on.
And are only people in the legal profession allowed to write on these?
I think just about anybody can use one. I've even seen Jeff use one before. So.
Wow. Thank you. Today, when you leave church, please go out by the Welcome Center, and you too may write on a legal pad. And I would like for you to write on that legal pad any problems you have had scheduling an appointment for a photograph, having an appointment canceled, which happened to one person for no reason, or any other problem having to do with scheduling, calling, reminders, those kinds of things. That's one pad. On the other pad, I want you to write your name and any problems you've had with receiving your photograph, starting with getting three, two of which weren't you, or an empty envelope, which leaves you sort of lacking with your photograph, or not getting anything at all because everyone who has had a photograph taken should have a photograph in hand by now. Please put those down. The head of customer service and I had a very long and interesting conversation on Friday morning in which he kept saying, "That can't happen. That can't happen." To which I replied, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "Oh, I'm not doubting your word. I'm just saying we can't allow that to happen. So I need just some documentation that he can take to his trainers and get these things fixed for us, but to prevent problems in the future." We are having a makeup session, photography session on Friday and one on Saturday of this week. Also, if you called for an appointment and they've told you you can't make one on Friday, Write that down. I don't know whose idea it is that they can always cancel Friday, but he didn't know about it. I didn't know about it. Friday has 5 slots left on it as of Friday morning when I last looked at the website. There are appointments available. If you're told that all the appointments are filled, and this is a possibility, please call me immediately so I can make a list and find a way to extend our hours. At this point, good photography can happen, but only if we have a photographer here, and only if we can get the schedulers, who are temp people, by the way, to play by the rules. And we and Olin Mills need your help in getting that to happen. The photographs I have seen that were made already are wonderful. Most of you are very, very pleased with them, and that delights me. And the ideas and plans for the directory are progressing appropriately, and I do appreciate your cooperation. But please help me with this documentation today and use the legal pads. Thank you.
Did you notice Jason's response? It wasn't, "That is a legal pad." He said, "It looks like a legal pad." That's a good attorney right there. Well, it appears to me that maybe in a... It's just sharp, buddy. That's outstanding. Outstanding. I have a couple announcements I need to make. This coming Sunday, a week from today, we begin revival. Excuse me. As I said, Wednesday night, we are beginning a series of services where we are praying for revival. And I hope that you are praying for revival. And I hope that you are earnestly seeking God to lead you to someone to invite to be a part of these services. I think that's an important part. But revival is for us as believers. It starts first with believers and then spreads into the community. And so we want to invite you to be a part of those services beginning next Sunday morning. In preparation for that, yesterday, we were supposed to have a D4, which was the deal door hanger distribution day, and no one showed up. Now, I'm not a motivator by guilt. However, in this one particular instance, no. If you would be willing to distribute some door hangers in your neighborhood, perhaps even in our community, one afternoon, we would love for you to take those. They're at the information center, so you can pick up a packet as you leave, as many as you need to take with you. We can replenish those. So also posters and flyers, take those with you. Get the word out. We're going to try next Saturday morning again at 10 o'clock. Next Saturday morning, there'll be a lot going on here. They'll be setting up the tent. There'll be a lot of activity out on the front lawn. So we want to take an opportunity at 10 o'clock. If you're able to come, we're going to once again try to get out into our community and hand out these door hangers and invite people to be a part of those services. So put that on your calendar. 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. We'll be talking about it again Wednesday night. But please, if you are able to come and help us with that, we would appreciate it. Also, if you're able to help with setup, we would love for you to be a part of that. Charlie Jones is kind of spearheading that. So I ask you if you would like to help with setup on terms of the logistics of moving chairs out and things of that nature, if you would let Charlie Jones know. I have another announcement. We were down in Adult 3 this morning celebrating actually just a wondrous event. Gwen Gassaway has a birthday today, and I'm not going to embarrass. Well, can I tell him? Sure. She is 90 years old today, and that is just remarkable. And that was a wonderful time of fellowship down there. She has many members of her family that are here with us today, so we say welcome to you. And thank you for being with us today to help celebrate this wonderful day. I know there's other birthdays today with Bill and Jerry, and if you are celebrating a birthday, I hope that you'll get together with Gwen after the service and wish each other a happy birthday and give everybody a group hug there. So it's a wonderful day, and thank you for celebrating it with us, Gwen. We really appreciate that. One other announcement, it's kind of a family matter. Last Wednesday night, We told you about the situation with Karen Rose, and many of you have been asking about her, and it was suggested Wednesday night that maybe I need to announce it Sunday morning, because there may be those of you that were here this morning that were not here Wednesday night. But Karen is progressing in her kidney transplant procedure, and the process is working itself out. She has had many of you come to her and say, you know, how can we help with this? Am I an eligible donor? Those things like that. Those kind of questions, or how does it work? And, you know, we're just kind of really interested in that situation. If you are interested in knowing more about the process, or if you have asked her about your willingness to be a donor and the matches and how all that works, now is the time to get back with her. She cannot remember all of you who have asked. And don't take that personal. They've just had a lot of as we know happens in church life, a lot of people care for you and a lot of people ask questions. So just for matter of information, if you have asked about that and are interested in maybe being tested to see if you're an eligible donor, talk with Karen this week, because they're actually kind of in the process right now and at that point in the process where that's a relevant question, okay? So if you would continue to be in prayer for them, as well as all of our other people who are having health concerns, and thank you again for allowing me to make that announcement. Thank you.
One final schedule note, our College Parkers group will be meeting this Thursday at 11:30 in Smith Hall. And all the other announcements you will find listed in your schedule events in your bulletin. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've already given us your information. You've told us a little bit about you by filling out the pew pad a few moments ago. We would like to give you some information about College Park. So we invite you to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning as our ushers are coming down the aisles. They will give you a packet. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of history of College Park, things that we do, and also a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. And we pray that this welcome packet will allow you to get to know us a little bit better. The best way to find out about College Park is to worship together. We do it just about as well as anybody. And it's not about the people up here. It's about people out there gathering our hearts together, our minds, our voices, our hearts, our souls together. That is what worship is. Worship is active. It's something that we participate in. And we are worshiping together this morning. You will find in your bulletin a responsive reading, the invitation to share in worship. This is how we begin most every worship service. I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter.
I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? This morning, Father, we call you our Lord, our Savior, Creator of heaven and earth. And we know that you live. You are alive and well and working in your world today. Because, Father, we can see you in the eyes of the people in this room. We can see you in the beauty of creation. We see your fingerprints everywhere we go. You are not a God who stays away from his people. You are the God, the one and only, Father, Son, Spirit. And you have done a mighty work. On this Sunday after Easter, where we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to offer thanksgiving and to put you on the throne of our lives. So that's why we've come this morning for worship. That's why we've entered into this place, to let you know that we love you and we thank you and we want to live our lives for you. This is why we worship, and this is why we want you here among us. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father.
Amen. As we share together this morning, the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture will begin first in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. As printed in your order of worship, we'll be reading in Psalm 118, beginning in verse 14. Feel free to follow along if you have your Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close by. From Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done many great things, done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. From the New Testament, first from the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, beginning in verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And from the Gospel of John, in the 20th chapter, beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to share a corporate prayer request with you for two families in our community, the Shelton and Estep families, families of two students that go to Reagan High School who were in a car accident on Friday night. Josh Shelton was killed in the accident, and Matt Estep is in serious condition. So let's, as a body of Christ, be in prayer for those families and all that they're dealing with. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, we are thankful for your presence and your love as we have gathered in your name, Lord, to worship, and as we are together as part of the body of Christ. We are thankful for what you mean in our lives. Lord, in recent weeks we have experienced Lent. We have experienced Easter Sunday. We are preparing for worship and revival in this place. Lord, as we go through all of that, that is important in our lives, we're thankful for your presence and your love. Lord, as we seek to be ministers of your gospel, and we seek to live out what you commanded your disciples to do, just as we read about in Scripture, we're thankful for your presence and for your love. And we seek your leadership, Lord, because sometimes our minds are small and we can't comprehend the power of the calling that you have for each one of us. Lord, help us to understand and help us to turn our minds and our hearts to you this week as we figure out what you have in store for us and as we seek to be leaders in your name. Lord, we are thankful for you. Lord, we know that in Scripture that you tell us that we should be thankful in everything, in every circumstance, Lord. And we seek to do that despite our human weakness. Lord, we have many weaknesses. We have many hurts. We have many needs. We have many things, Lord, that we don't understand, that we have a hard time dealing with. We have many prayer requests that we bring to you on behalf of ourselves and others around us who are hurting. Lord, we don't bring these prayer requests to you because you need the information. We know that you have perfect information. But we bring them to you because the Scripture says that is the thing to do, to lift up our request to you with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And Lord, it is that we do because of your perfect love and your perfect grace and your abiding presence that we seek for ourselves and for those that we love. Lord, thank you for that presence. Thank you for your love, your power, and your grace, far greater than we deserve. Lead us, Lord, as individuals, as families, and as the body of Christ, to do your will in your name. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we give you thanks for this your day. We thank you for the rain which waters the earth and quenches our thirst. We thank you for the sun which warms us and helps us to grow physically. We give you thanks for your son who loves us and helps us to grow spiritually. We give you our love, our tithes, and offerings. Please accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is the Sunday after Easter, and Easter continues as the children have sang this morning. Wasn't it beautiful? Wasn't it wonderful to hear them proclaim the joy of Easter, that Christ is alive, and we're still celebrating. As Easter people, we should celebrate year-round. Amen? Oh, wow. This morning, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It comes from Acts chapter 5. And it's a wonderful passage because it gives us the results. Sometimes we wonder what happened after this. And we don't hear the rest of the story, but this is part of the rest of the story. And, of course, the story is continuing of what happened following Easter. But this is the account that the apostles experienced. And it begins in verse 27 of chapter 5 of Acts. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, this text is kind of a part of a continuing story about the preaching of the apostles, what they were doing, the challenges that they faced as a result of their obedience to preach the gospel. So according to Acts, and you can read in verses prior to this, they were having just remarkable, quote, success, if you will. Many were coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Many were being healed. And so this created a lot of tension in the religious community, if you will. The religious leaders of the time were not at all pleased, to say the least. And so they arrested the apostles, had them thrown in jail. So the angel of the Lord came to them in the night. He opened the door of the prison cell and told them to go and preach in the temple. So they went from the streets to the temple. So at daybreak, the apostles were obedient. They went to the temple and they just kept on preaching, just like they were doing before. And just like had happened before, they got arrested again. And so the high priest, you know, he sent the guards to the prison to find them. But the temple police, back up in verse 23, here's what they came back and reported. He said, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." So at this confusing moment, when they're giving this report, somebody else shows up and said, "Look, the men you put in jail, they're standing at the temple courts. And they're preaching and teaching the people." So once again, the apostles, they're drugged in front of the council. And, you know, I'd like to put myself in the position of that high priest for just a moment, or been a fly on the wall to hear what he said. You know, can you imagine his position? You know, "What are you doing, guys? We threw you in jail for doing this. And you get out of jail, we don't know how, but you get out of prison and you go and you keep doing the same thing. Do you not get it? We don't want you to do this." And the response is priceless. Notice it says Peter, but it also says, "and the other apostles." It wasn't just Peter this time. Peter's usually the first one to speak up, granted, but it wasn't just him. In verse 29, his response is, "Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" In other words, "We know exactly what you told us. There's no mistake here. We know you told us not to preach, but God commanded and empowered us to preach. And we have to obey him. Don't take it personal, but we have to obey him." But then he goes on and he kind of sums up the message. He tells them, by the way, here's what we're preaching. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. You remember him? He's the one that you tried to kill on a tree. And God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So the leaders were furious. They didn't like that response. They were furious. And they wanted to kill the apostles. That was what they really wanted, except for the words of Gamaliel. And as many of you will remember, Gamaliel is Paul's teacher. And he speaks up, very wise man. He speaks up and he gives these words in verses 38 and 39. He says, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." The message here is very clear. At least it is to me. The message from Acts is clear. The disciples, remember last we heard from them back right before Easter Sunday? What was happening with them? Peter was denying Christ. The other disciples, it said, good King James word, fled. They ran like children. They were scared to death. That's the last we really hear of those guys until Easter Sunday morning. And then what happened? Peter and the other disciples witnessed the resurrected Lord. Jesus came and he appeared to them and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive power." And in doing so, they were emboldened like nothing else in human history. They had the most precious message of human history, and they were given the courage and the strength and the power to go preach that. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. They were told to do so, but that's what they deeply desired to do. And the experience that God gave them and the power that he gave them clarity and the ability to take a stand for what they believed in, for what they had witnessed. And that's what they did. They told what had happened to them. That's what a witness does. Other Christians have found themselves in such a position, able to take a stand. And one of those is a German pastor named Martin Niemöller. And he preached these words in 1937. He says, "We have no more thought of using our own powers to escape the arm of the authorities than had the apostles of old. No more are we ready to keep silent at man's behest when God commands us to speak. For it is and must remain the case that we must obey God rather than men." Now, he preached that sermon on June 27th, 1937. He was arrested on July 1st and imprisoned. It seems the Führer did not like the message. Well, what about us? In what ways do we claim Easter power? What ways do we claim that for ourselves? And when do we find it necessary to obey God rather than man? We cannot claim the power if we do not know the story. Do you remember last Sunday morning we sat here and listened to these children tell the story of Easter? That stayed with me all week. Yeah, amen. There's really nothing else we can say about it. We have to know the story like those children knew the story, accepting the Word of God and knowing the story of the resurrection. Know it deeply, inside and out. Inside, we know it. Outside, we tell it. We not only know it in our heads, but we know it in our spirits. And Peter gives testimony to this. He says, "We are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So as we live faithfully, the Spirit is with us, giving us power and courage. So hearing the Easter story once a year is not enough. Although, thank you for being here. We had a big crowd here last Sunday morning, and we have a big crowd here this morning also. It's good to be in God's house, to hear God's Word, to read God's Word. We don't need to hear the Easter story just once a year. We need to make it a part of who we are. You know, I personally need time with God every day. I need that. I need to read from His Word. Even if I can't read a whole lot, I need to spend a little time. I need to talk with Him. I need to relax, breathe deeply, just kind of get my perspective. Because without that time, spending time with God during the day, without that time, I don't feel as grounded. I don't feel like I'm able to make the right choices, make the courageous choices that I need to. Without that time, I don't feel like I'm treating others like I really need to. My family, those that I have to minister to, those that I go to see in the hospital, those that I go to see in their homes. I don't feel like I really have what I need unless I spend time with God's Word, letting His Spirit fill me up. Now, some people talk about seeing red. You've heard that expression. When they're angry, they just saw red. I think maybe we need to see gold, as in the streets of gold. Perhaps we are called to see gold, and at the moment of our blinding clarity, see people with God's eyes. To allow the Holy Spirit to give us God's vision so that we can see where He sent us to minister and to proclaim the Word of God. And as Acts, this passage describes him, Peter did not have any agony over whether to preach the gospel. The angel of the Lord rescued him from prison, and he said, go to the temple, preach there. They didn't say they agonized over that. They tried to debate what the authorities would think. Not at all. The angel of the Lord said, go, and led them. And that's exactly what they did. They stepped forward to do what God had called them to do. You may be hearing you saying, well, okay, that's fine. That's good. That's a great story. Fantastic. What does that have to do with us? You know, we don't live in a culture where we're going to be thrown in prison like these apostles were for preaching. And to that I would say, exactly. What's our excuse? What is our excuse? We have access to the same power that they had. Yet we don't have the barriers. So what's stopping us? What's stopping us? A book maybe you need to read. Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you want to read about people that had barriers and didn't let it stop them, read about the martyrs that have been killed for their faith. Teenagers, if you want to read a little bit updated version, Jesus Freaks, DC Talk edited that, volumes 1 and 2, because there are more people being martyred today than ever have been. People all around the world being killed for their faith. Yet we live in an environment where we don't worry about physical harm for preaching the gospel. So what's our excuse? Now you say, well, I'll be made fun of. You know, people will think less of me. Sorry, I just don't buy that. I don't buy it. Because if we preach the gospel in love, how many times have you extended love only to get hate in return? Very few. Matter of fact, I doubt you've ever received hate in return for true love. Because human beings are wired to receive love. We desire compassion and love. So when we extend the message of Jesus Christ with love and compassion, it will be received. I don't think when we present it in love, young people at school, when we tell the message of Jesus Christ, not in a condemning way, but in really, hey man, I know you're struggling, and here's something that I found works for me, and I just thought you'd want to know about it. Adults, in the workplace, when you see people struggling, you know, can I pray for you? You know, I believe personally, give a witness, give a testimony, and then offer to pray and encourage other people. We live in kind of a culture that says live and let live. Well, that's not my thing. You just, you know, live and let live. And I think as we buy into that mentality, we are sending people directly to hell. Because if we don't care enough to tell them about Jesus in the freedom that we have, who's going to tell them? If we were given thousands of free vacations,
you know, little vouchers that said free vacation. You and your whole family, even the mother-in-law, everybody, your whole family, go to Hawaii for a week, all expenses paid. As many as we could give away. Boy, we'd give them away, wouldn't we? Ba-da, 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 and people would take them. So in that, you know where I'm going. How much more should we be excited about telling people about eternal paradise? What's our excuse? Easter power is power for all Christians who want the courage to face both the bad and the good in this earthly existence. Because ultimately we know that our eternal existence is secure. We know where we're going to spend eternity. But in the meantime, Easter power is for all Christians who want to make a difference, who want to share the love of Jesus Christ with other people. That's our challenge. The question each of us needs to answer is, what's our excuse? And I pray that as you ask that question of yourself this week, that God will encourage you, that He will send His Holy Spirit afresh every day to encourage you, to give you eyes to see other people who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And He will give you courage and power to speak out with love as our Savior did. Let's pray together. Dear Father, forgive us when we are embarrassed. Forgive us when we're shy. Forgive us when we're anything other than bold. Father, we know that You loved us so much that You sent Your only Son to be the sacrifice once and for all. So, Father, we pray that we would give of ourselves completely, that we would share the good news of Jesus Christ because You first loved us and sent Your Son for us. Help that to be our motivation. Help that to be our spirit as we minister to people where they are at their point of need, and then give a witness just how much You love them and how You sent Your Son to die for them. Father, we thank You for this story, this account. It's been reported of the change, the dramatic change that occurred in the disciples, and we pray for that same change in our own life. And it's because of Your Son that we're able to approach You in prayer. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. I hope as you've been able to worship this morning, that your heart has been filled with new hope, with encouragement, with strength, with power. And that as you leave from this place, that you'll have a desire, that your passion will be to share Jesus Christ with someone else. I hope that's my prayer for you this morning, this week, as you go from this place. If you're not a believer this morning, we want to give you a chance to accept Jesus Christ. There's no more important decision you'll ever make in your life, and we want to give you a chance to do that this morning. I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Him. If you're here this morning and you just want to come and pray and here at the altar, that God's Spirit will be free to move and to encourage and convict, the altar is open. If you'd like to come and pray, that God would give you more strength, that you would be willing to accept His power to use it for His glory, certainly come pray. And if you are in a position where you maybe would like to join this fellowship of believers, we would love to talk with you. We receive members in many ways. Be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, I hope that you will make it with God. And if you would like to share it with us, that's great too. But settle things with God this morning. Let's stand and sing together. ask you to be seated for just a moment, please. Bobby, you and Brenda, come on up. And Mary, if you would come on up. Many of you know Bobby and Brenda Hunt. They've been with us for several months now. They've been worshiping with us, involved in Sunday school, and had a good visit with them the other night. And they said that they're ready to come in and be full-fledged members and get involved and get to work and be a part of God's work here in this community. And we are so excited. They are coming, requesting a transfer of letter from Winter Park Baptist Church in Wilmington. And if you would delight with me in receiving them and encouraging them and supporting them and praying for them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Very good. Brenda's mother, Mary Ruth Wilson, comes this morning. She lives right next door to them. And I'm sorry about the mother-in-law comment earlier. I look great. Okay, good. Yeah. But anyway, that lives right beside them, and they have a wonderful relationship, and she has been involved already also, and she comes this morning by transfer a letter from Temple Baptist Church in Durham. And if you'd be willing to do all the things that you're going to do for her daughter and son-in-law and pray and encourage, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. We're delighted that all of you came this morning and want to give you a chance to meet them. If you've not already done so at the conclusion of the service, they'll be here with me, and I hope that you'll come by and give them a hug and give them a handshake, whatever you feel like you do to greet them into our family. And this week, again, remember to pray for them, encourage them as you do for each other. It's a wonderful thing. Would you join me now in standing as we have our benediction? Dear Father, we thank you for the worship that we've experienced. We pray that the transformation will be complete as you guide us and lead us. And it's in your precious Son's name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.